Since 2004, Iowa livestock farmers have turned to the Coalition to Support Iowa's Farmers for free, confidential, and expert assistance in raising livestock responsibly and successfully. Join us at the Fence Line to hear from industry experts and farmers about topics important to livestock agriculture here in Iowa. The Fence Line, where the gates always open. Welcome to another edition of The Fence Line. My name is Bob Quinn. I'm here on behalf of the Coalition to Support Iowa's Farmers. The Fence Line is a production of the Coalition to Support Iowa's Farmers. You can find out more about the Coalition at supportfarmers.com. Today we're featuring some people involved in the livestock industry and winners of a Wergen Good Farm Neighbor Award. Now, the Wergen Good Farm Neighbor Award is made possible through a partnership with the Coalition to Support Iowa's Farmers and The Big Show on WHO Radio. The award recognizes Iowa livestock farmers who take pride in caring for the environment and their livestock and who have demonstrated a commitment to their community. It was back in the first week of September, we were headed off to Poweshiek County to Bonmore Farms, and Bonmore means large white or white pig, to the farm of Joe and Francine Bohanic. This is the 177th Wergen Good Farm Neighbor Award presentation. And it's always great to be able to catch up and visit with some folks who have been involved in Iowa agriculture. Let's start off the program today talking with Joe Bohanic. And he talks a little bit about how he got involved in agriculture. Tell me a little bit about your livestock operation here. What do you raise here?
Well, back in the 60s, I started with a bred sow and grew continually all the way through high school with the Yorkshire breed. Beginning in the 70s to 80s, we incorporated some large white pigs with the help of people from Minnesota and Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And we selected lines in our breeding program, especially for good production in females, female genetics. And so we grew eventually, as Francie and I got married in 1977, we grew to up to 250 sows. Generally, we had about 200 sows through the 70s and 80s. And then we kind of leveled off back then and around the year 1990. So,
why did you pick Yorkshire?
Yorkshire breed was specifically selected for female production traits.
Okay.
Numbers of pigs per sow, good birth weights, good weaning weights, and we have decided that that was going to be our goal to help the commercial man in regards to a good productive female, so that he can in turn raise numbers of pigs per sow per year.
So you're more interested in the genetics and passing that line along rather than that end product of the meat then?
I'm Francie, Joe's wife, and it wasn't just the genetics and the mothering ability, because I love the mothering. They would follow me down the grass path down uh-huh. to the farrowing house. I could get them in the farrowing crate. They'd do fine in there. But the meat quality also is great. And they've got, it's not a rounded pig. It's a deep-bellied square pig. So you have more meat in that pig than you're going to have in a small rounded pig. Like, some of the other breeds were meant to be smaller and rounder, like a Berkshire or a, mm-hmm. or even a Hampshire. They're not meant to be the mothering breed as well as the milking breed.
Let's talk a little bit about something else I see walking around the yard here, and that's a sheep. So at some point you must have added sheep back in the livestock operation.
Yeah, about 7-8 years ago, I went down to Missouri. For years and years and years, there was an exhibitor at the Iowa State Fair that had extremely long productive sow. And so I paid him a visit when I was on vacation, and I ended up buying four ewes and then eventually a ram. And I thought it was a good project for not only myself, but maybe my kids and grandkids going forward. And so we started out with the four, original four, and then we were up to about 15 head of ewes. Mm-hmm. Registered Suffolks, and we do, there again, we look for the production animals, the good mothers, the big framed ones, the kind that are going to get bigger and grow faster.
Well, now, I got to ask you this question then, because you're just bragging up these hogs here, you see.
Yeah.
And what did you think when you saw all of a sudden four sheep show up at the place?
The four sheep kind of came in between before we came back into the hogs. And our daughter Kate had Suffolk sheep when she was in 4-H. So it wasn't a surprise to me.
Yeah.
And that way I also don't have to mow so much lawn. So you may think it's crazy, but
I think this year's drought maybe took care of the lawn mowing business.
Yeah, and the pasture as well. But, you know, we kind of built pasture as we grew. We would build more pasture and more paddocks and less mowing for me.
We did
for
do
me.
It. Keep it in mind, you know, our mowing situation here, which is huge.
Yeah.
And so we decided every year we would add an extra paddock and keep growing a little bit. And obviously this year it didn't work with the drought. And last year it's been kind of tough, you know, in regards to that. But that's part of it. So.
You know, I should have asked you before we got too far along here, how much rain you've had. How's the summer been for you?
We had a couple of times. One time, maybe 6-8 weeks ago, we might have had 2 inches of rain at one time. But in between, it's only been maybe 2 3/10 at a time, and maybe every other week or something like that.
Now, we're getting here in the first part of September, and it looks like things are pretty much shutting down, mm-hmm. and we're getting towards the end of the growing season, you know, anyway, so maybe a little bit of that. But we have been experiencing across Iowa very spotted rain, but it seems like it's been just-in-time type rain.
Mm-hmm. I would say maybe right through here is one of the better, worst places here, however you want to say it. But if you go north of here another 20, 25 miles, it's much worse. I had my nephew tell me last week that their corn looks like it's October, you know.
Yeah.
And I would say ours is slowly turning, but probably had a little more subsoil moisture than they had further north of here. So.
Now, I want to ask you here, I've seen some pictures. It looks like you got some young folks that like to show things at the fair. So what are we looking at for our show livestock here?
Well, Cade has shown pigs in the National Swine Show down in Louisville, and he also shows pigs at the state fair.
Yeah.
And he shows sheep at the state fair and not in the open show as well as the junior show, Suffolk show. And he's been doing that since he was about, I think, 5. He walked out with his mom. And he's been doing it ever since. So he's now 10. And then Hadley kind of got into pageantry type stuff, and she's the Little Miss United States Agriculture Queen or Princess or whatever. So she gives out the ribbons. So she's been able to give Grandpa ribbons and her brother Cade ribbons and her mom ribbons. And so it's kind of a family thing.
Yeah.
So, and he's been showing since he was down at the state fair, since, I don't know, when you were 10 or something like that.
So. Well, that's been more than a few years ago then.
Yeah. Our general rule here is that in genetic selection, when animals get round, they get little. When you have round muscle maturity patterns, animals tend to get smaller.
Hmm.
If you have large square animals, they'll get bigger. And so the tendency in genetics is always to, you know, decrease. And so animals will automatically get smaller on their own. So the idea here is what we keep in mind is to always reach out for the larger kind, for more production, and for bigger frame and for faster growth. And along with that goes, obviously, just like dairy cattle, you know, take more feed. Maybe that's the downside of it, but that's a reality. So you can take your pick, you know. Maybe a little animals, rounder muscle, don't eat as much, but they don't have the growth potential that the larger animals do.
Now, you mentioned dairy cattle. Are you thinking maybe in the back of your mind that might be something you want to get into here, is dairy in a little bit?
No, I like to sleep in.
Actually, our brother-in-law and my sister are the Lionses from Tamut's Leoto, and they were big into dairy.
Uh-huh.
And give a shout-out to the dairy people, because it's tough work. I think they've recently just downsized, but you do want the milk for the pigs and for the sheep. You want that milking ability, and the smaller animals don't always have that. So, yeah. But and Joe did work at the dairy farm for a while, so he knows what it's like to get up early. And
you got a little pale when I started talking about bringing cows in here.
I'm not a cow person.
I thought maybe we'd have to get a chair for you here to sit down on.
Yeah, you might, because I'm not a cow person.
That's Joe and Francine Bahanek, our Wergen Good Farm Neighbor award-winning family. Now, they're assisted on the farm by their daughter, Kate Kaibach, grandson Cade, and granddaughter Hadley. Jay Dvorak, a nephew, farms the land. We're going to talk with Jay a little bit later on here. Shane Bahanek, a son, and grandsons Wesley and Bennett Bahanek are what they call on-call helpers. Now, the Wergen Good Farm Neighbor Award is presented during the big show, and we're going to drop into some of the live segments reported on that day from the Bahanek Farm. The big show today, we are celebrating our 178th Wergen Good Farm Neighbor Award, and I am with the Bahanek family. And Joe, what county are we in? I forgot.
We're in Powesheet.
Powesheet County. Okay. Powesheet County. And a little bit of background, you have hogs here on the farm, and you've also got sheep.
Correct.
All right. Tell me what kind of hogs you started out with.
Started out with a purebred Yorkshire style when I was 10 years old, and that was my 4-H project. And I continued with that. My dad was raising commercial pigs. I continued with that, and as I developed my herd, started to sell a lot of breeding stock. And so through high school, maintained probably 50 sow herd, and then by the time I got to college and met my wife Francine, we were up to about 100 sows. Selling purebred breeding stock. And then through the years after we were married, we moved up to about 200 to 250 sows for quite a few years.
I want to introduce our Secretary of Agriculture, Mike Nagg, who is with us as well. Secretary, I'm sorry, you're going to get upstaged for just...
Well, there's royalty here. You should absolutely talk to her first.
We have a young lady who is wearing a crown here, and Secretary of Agriculture usually has his on as well. What's your name?
Hadley.
Hadley. It says Miss United States Agriculture on your sash. There. What's that all about?
Well, I'm doing pageants. I've been doing these about like 3 years now.
How old are you?
8.
8 years old. And you're our spokesperson for agriculture. Did you get to work at the county fair?
Yes.
Yeah, what'd you do there?
Hand out ribbons.
Now, do you show livestock as well? Do you show any projects?
Well, not no. Well, no.
You're a good helper, though, right?
Yeah.
So, are you in school?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought maybe you'd graduated already, since you're already Miss United States Agriculture. How long have you been Miss United States Agriculture?
About like when I was 5 years old.
Okay, so two years, 3 years. Well, thank you for coming over and talking to us a little bit today.
You're welcome.
You stick around here. We may need some help a little bit later on. Secretary of Agriculture Mike Nagg is who?
You'll have to ask her. She named a pig a special name, and I'll let her tell you what that name is, but it's pretty near and dear to me.
Hadley, come over here for a second. Secretary of Agriculture Nagg says you have a special pig you named.
His name is Mike.
How'd you come up with that name?
My last year's teacher, Mrs. Brack, decided on that name.
So the fact that Mike slipped you a 10.
Also, it was Mrs. Brecht who thought of it, not Hadley. Okay, all right.
Oh, Secretary of Agriculture.
Apparently Mike is coming out later.
Hey, we are celebrating 178th Wergen Good Farm Neighbor Award winner today. Yeah. And we have a pork producer and a sheep producer with us.
Yeah. Isn't it great? And by the way, I was loving the story of how did you get started in swine production, right? And turns out you can start with one 4-H project or one sow and go from there. And that's, you've got a classic example of that. And obviously, this is a family that's focused on genetics and great genetics. And that's something that we can certainly be proud of here. Long history of that in the state of Iowa and continues today.
You have been on the...
Yeah.
So you know the importance of showing livestock at the county fairs.
Oh, yes.
It's a big deal. We got a lot of young folks here who show. We've got some FFA kids running around here as well. culture we're looking at.
Was it Cade? Is that, yeah, you were showing down at State Fair, right? Both sheep and pigs. These are busy, this is a busy family here,
yeah,
Bob.
Yeah. Well, if you want something done, get some busy people.
That's right.
And they'll come along.
Well, you know, and again, we just coming off of the State Fair, the great showcase of Iowa agriculture, county fairs all across the state. Of course, we love the fact that it is a testament to and a showcase of what's great about Iowa's agriculture community and the quality of it. I love to ask, you know, judges when they come in, all right, how do we really stack up? Tell me about it. How do we, you know, and really the State Fair is like a Super Bowl, you know, of Iowa agriculture. But then I think of these young people, not so young people who show as well. And me being one of them too. I'm not just looking at Joe and Francine here, but you got to work hard. You prepare, you put the effort in, you compete, you do well, or maybe you don't do as well as you want, and then you got to do something about that. Do you want to get better? And it's just, those are great character building moments.
Let me ask you about the sheep industry here,
yeah,
in Iowa. We, at one time, had the most sheep producers, mm-hmm, and top 10 in sheep production. I think we're behind Texas now as far as numbers of producers. We have a lot of families here in Iowa that produce sheep.
A lot of families. We would still be in the top 10 in terms of sheep production. And I think, you know, what I'm told, and you've got a couple of experts standing next to you, but you know they're facing some of the same pressures any livestock producer is, with high cost of feed and yet price is strong and demand is good, and everything from wool and meat and need to be exported though around the world, and so I think those are things that we need to think about. But cost of production is tough with the high input prices for these guys, just like any other livestock producer.
We're going to talk to you again coming up. Secretary of Agriculture Mike Nag is going to be presenting our 178th Working Good Farm Neighbor Award ahead. We're going to get back to visiting more with the Bohanic family and Secretary of Agriculture Mike Nag. But I have mentioned that the fence line that you're listening to right now is a production of the Coalition to Support Iowa's Farmers. They're the livestock folks here in the state of Iowa, also our presenting sponsor for the Working Good Farm Neighbor Award. Now, if you have questions about the livestock industry, whether that's rules, regulations, whether that's maybe you're thinking about bringing some young folks back into the farm, or you're adding on some things, maybe you need a barn sited in, the Coalition to Support Iowa's Farmers should be one of your first calls. They know the rules and regulations, and they can help you out with everything from siting in that barn to good neighbor relations. You can find out more about the Coalition at supportfarmers.com. Supportfarmers.com. Well, let's drop back into the live segment of the big show, talking to the Bohanic family, our 177th Working Good Farm Neighbor Award-winning family. Joe Bohanic is standing with me. Joe, congratulations on being named Working Good Farm Neighbor Award winner.
Thank you very much. It's a real honor to receive this today.
Out here, mm-hmm, hooping and hollering with you today.
Yeah. We know with the weather and everything, we weren't sure how it was going to all turn out, but I think they revised the temp down a little bit, but in spite of it all, it turned out to be a pretty decent day weather-wise, so
well,
I think that's a result of it.
You have lots of folks out here that just reinforce what a good job you're doing being a good farm neighbor, and I asked you who does a lot of the work on the farm with you, and you told me you wanted me to talk to this fellow over here. Come on over here. What's your name?
Jay Dvorak.
Jay, what do you do here at the farm?
Well, about 10 years ago, Joe and Francine gave me the opportunity to rent their land, uh-huh, and we've been farming it since then, and after it expired from CRP, we started no-tilling it right away and growing some corn and beans on it since then.
So talk about some of the other things you're doing for conservation. You plant some cover crops?
We've tried some cover crops in the fall. We've had some successes, and we've also had some challenges, normal with this kind of a thing, but it's a good thing. Our goal is to keep the soil where it belongs and the nutrients where they belong, and just do a good job all the way around.
Corn and beans?
Corn and beans.
Been into any corn yet?
No, not yet. I'm anxious to hear some
not
numbers.
Too far from here, there's somebody out there
is that right?
Taking some corn out today. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Well, hey, thank you for being with us today.
You're welcome.
You bet. Secretary of Agriculture Mike Nag is with us, and we are celebrating another Working Good Farm Neighbor award-winning family. We have a pork producer and a sheep producer, mm-hmm, as well here on the Bohanic Farm.
Wonderful family, and just just had a nice award presentation. You can tell there's a lot of folks that that think highly of this family and the things that they do in the community and in the industry. Great to meet Jay. You know, and he said a lot right there, which is cover crops, good example of, hey, you know, you have to learn. It's a process. And so, again, just folks doing the right thing in their livestock operation and in their care of the land.
Talk about the sheep industry here in the state of Iowa.
Yeah, well, you know, again, we're known for protein production. This is what we do so well in this state. We take something that we produce, corn and soybeans, and we turn it into something of higher value. And that's the same with sheep as well. You know, meat prices. I mentioned wool earlier. I shouldn't have. Wool is not a viable marketplace. It's the meat, certainly, that is providing some value. But those livestock producers, those lamb producers are also looking at higher input costs, just like everybody else, which is why we got to continue to drive the demand side of the equation, exports, local, and, you know, it's part of why we launched the Choose Iowa effort at the state fair this year. Iowa grown, Iowa made, Iowa raised. The hope here is that we're going to have Iowans looking for more Iowa raised products and maybe some chefs featuring those on menus. I think lamb might be a nice feature, don't you?
You bet.
You know, again, just a good industry. Lots of great folks in this industry.
Go to a county fair.
Yeah.
And usually one day will be pork, and you see ground pork at the 4-H tent, and one day it'll be beef, and one day is lamb. I always like to get there on lamb day. Ground lamb. You're laughing because you know I like food of any kind, basically. But the lamb producers do a wonderful job not only preparing but promoting their product.
Oh, they do.
As well. You mentioned the Choose Iowa program.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, so again, this is all about the convergence of two things that, one good, one not so good. One is a growing trend of folks wanting to shop local, know where their food comes from. Frankly, I think it plays to our strengths because how long have we been, I just mentioned it to this group, doggone it, we want people to know where their food comes from and what that takes, and it starts on a farm, and it's got there's a lot of essential hands that are involved in getting it to your plate, but a better appreciation for that, frankly, more demand for that. And then we had the disrupted supply chain of the last couple of years, and so you've got a convergence of those two things, and we said, my gosh, Iowa has got a tremendous brand for agriculture, let's capitalize on it. Been a lot of work done in the local foods industry for many, many years in that business, and a lot of great things. So it's not like we're creating this marketplace. We're just trying to enhance it. So what you're going to see is you'll start to see this Choose Iowa brand. You might see it at the grocery store. You might see it on a menu. You might see it on a label of a product. The point is that when you see it, you'll know that it's quality, that it came from an Iowa farm or a business, and that you can then know something more about where it came from. So great opportunity to continue to build markets for our farmers.
You know, one thing that, speaking of county fairs, and you've been on the county fair circuit as well. A lot of the county fairs have the Farm to Table program going.
We had a really cool way to end the state fair. We did a Farm to Fair brunch, and again, we featured three chefs from across the state. They used the common ingredient of Iowa-grown sweet corn in this case, but really fun, delicious food, and then we, you know, compared that with just sourced all these ingredients from Iowa farms, and we told a little bit of their background. We see this farms, we see it happening in restaurants, at county fairs, connecting the dots between our farmers and consumers, and it's giving everybody something that that helps them out. It's win-win. Consumers get what they want. Farmers, what do we want? We want to be able to sell what we grow, sell what we produce for a fair price.
Well said. Also,
easier said than done sometimes.
Well, and we're number one in pork production.
We are, yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
And so we're talking about pork as well. Today.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, we are, and we know the benefits and the impact of that industry.
Yeah.
And the need to do it right and the need to tell people about how we're doing those things. Don't forget to tell those stories. You do it every day, but we're also trying to do that through the Good Farm Neighbor Award, but also through Choose Iowa. Let's tell stories about these families that are working hard every day to do the right things.
Secretary of Agriculture Mike Nag, thank you so much for being with us today. 177th presentation, Working Good Farm Neighbor Award. Our presenting sponsor, the Coalition Support Iowa's Farmers, Brian Waddingham with us. Brian, how can we find out more about your group?
Hey, the best way, jump online at supportfarmers.com or give us a call, 800-932-2436.
Maybe I should ask you, how can we nominate a Working Good Farm Neighbor Award?
You know, anybody can nominate a family for the award. You don't necessarily have to be a neighbor, but you have to have, obviously, some work and knowledge of the family. But go to our website, supportfarmers.com, and you can submit that nomination right there. It's really easy to do, and someone from the coalition will be in touch once we receive it.
Tell me again how to get a hold of you folks, and who should be calling you?
You know, anybody looking to get into livestock production or expand an existing facility or operation can give us a call, 800-932-2436, or find us online at supportfarmers.com.
Supportfarmers.com. Thank you so much, Brian Waddingham, our presenting sponsor with the Coalition to Support Iowa's Farmers. We're going to take a look at the marketplace coming up. Again, though, we have been at the 177th winning family at the Bohanic family, the Wergen Good Farm Neighbor Award. And that wrapped up our live big show broadcast that day, the first week in September of 2023, celebrating the Wergen Good Farm Neighbor Award with the Bohanic family. You've been listening to The Fence Line. Fence Line is a production of the Coalition to Support Iowa's Farmers. My name is Bob Quinn, and I'll talk to you again on the next edition of The Fence Line.